The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. It's my privilege to welcome you this morning to this glorious service. I want to start by thanking God and appreciating Him for His grace and for His mercies. I want to welcome you into this service this morning. You are all looking very radiant, very wonderful, looking very gorgeous. I can see the glory of the Lord upon your life. And my prayer for you is that your lives will never be the same again. Let me see. Look at me, everybody. Let me see your teeth outside with a smile. Oh, some are still not smiling. To me, smile. I want to see. Smile very well. Hallelujah. Your smile will not be turned to sorrow. Your joy will not be turned into sorrow in the name of Jesus. You will keep smiling. You will keep laughing. You will keep rejoicing. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. In the name of Jesus. Speaking this morning on supernatural turnaround for all-round success. Supernatural turnaround for all-round success. You see, you are not created for the natural. You were created by God to operate in a realm called the realm of the supernatural. The natural life is an uninteresting life. It's a dull life. I mean, I as a person, I don't like dull situations, dull environment, or dull people by nature. A supernatural life is a life that is out of this world. It is beyond expectation. It is beyond imagination. It's a life that is beyond what you even imagine yourself. And that is God's plan for you. And God wants to bring about something into your life this morning called supernatural turnaround. That is, He wants to move you from sickness to health. Somebody say amen. From poverty to riches. Amen. From being single to being married. Amen. From smallness to greatness. Amen. From failure and constant carryover to total success all around. Amen. From the back to the very front. Amen. From a nonentity in your family to a celebrity in your family. Amen. From a situation of endless sorrow and afflictions to endless joy and blessings. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. He wants to turn your curses into blessings. And for somebody that can receive it this morning, that will be your portion. I said that will be your portion. God wants things to turn around for you. And supernatural turnaround simply means miraculous transformation of a man's life by heavenly forces. Supernatural turnaround means miraculous transformation of a person's life by heavenly forces. Heavenly forces. Heavenly forces. Number two, supernatural turnaround simply means a change of story and a new song effected and propelled by divine factors. Child, somebody's life will never be the same again this morning. Number three, supernatural turnaround means result that is beyond your work or labor. Result that is beyond work, man's work or labor. You do something small and then God blows it up. You started with a small capital and then all of a sudden that small capital has metastasized, has spread. Somebody's here. Every single continent of this world, your business shall be operating there. Let me hear your loudest amen. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm going. I'm not permitted to die in an entity. No. Smallness. I hate mediocrity. I have a distaste for things not working. And that's why I know this morning, whatever it is that is not working in your life and in your family must begin to work from this morning in the name of Jesus. Quickly this morning, without wasting our time, how do I provoke supernatural turnaround? What do I need to do? Because every promise of God has a responsibility by man. Every promise of God has a responsibility by man. If you do this, I will do this. If you can do this, I will do this for you. So there is what to do to operate in this realm. Now I'll be opening that up to you this morning. Number one thing that provokes supernatural turnaround is called your givings and your liberality towards God. In Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 9, Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 9, there's a story there of a man called Peter. This man called Peter was a man who was a fisherman, an expert in fishing technology. He was very good. He knew his business. He knew the technology to get the best of fishes. But the Bible says he left his house and went to fish. And the Bible says he toiled all night. And then incidentally, Jesus just came by and said, "Can I please use your sheep? Can I please quickly use this thing for evangelism?" And he said, "Why not?" And Jesus preached in the sheep. And the Bible says that many souls must have been won, I believe, in that. And then after that, Jesus said, "There must be a turnaround here. I can't leave this man the same way I have met him." He said, "Launch your net again. Launch your net again." And Peter started giving excuses in verse 5. He said, "But we have been doing this a long time." And Simon answered and said, "Lord, Master, we have toiled all night. We have labored." "Pastor, I dey work." Nobody say, "I know they work." I do jobs. I work. But working without turnaround, without a touch from heaven, is what is called frustration without end. Working without the hand of God, like I said last Sunday, working without the input of heaven is like frustration continua. But that will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. And then, can we still have the scripture, please? And then he said unto him, he said, "What do you mean? I'm talking, you are talking. I will do it. I will launch it into the net. I will launch it into the ship, beg your pardon." And then as he did that, the Bible says he caught a great multitude of fishes. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net began to break. Please stop there. Keep the scriptures there. No distractions, please. The net of the person that all of a sudden was as if he was a frustrated man. Maybe you are here this morning, you are frustrated. You have moved from career to career, business. There's nothing you have not sold. You sold gas. You sold donut. You sold tire. You ventured into tailoring. You even repaired this watch before. There's hardly anything that is making, you have done, at least you must have done close to 7-8 businesses. Till God is provoked through your giving and your liberality, supernatural turnaround is not a possibility. The Bible says in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, the Bible says there was a man there called Solomon. 1 Kings 3 from verse 1, but with emphasis from verse 3. This man called Solomon, he went to the Lord, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh. From verse 3, like I said. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice. That was Solomon's secret. Solomon was a liberal man. And because of his liberality, God made things to turn for him. He was not meant to be the king. There were many people who were more qualified than Solomon. Far, far. In fact, looking at the circumstances of his birth, he shouldn't even be the king. Is somebody listening to me this morning? But he was too liberal with God. He was too liberal with God. He woke up one day and like somebody killing 1,000 cows. You can imagine the labor involved in even killing one. Some of you here, you have never killed one cow before. On your own, just slaughter one cow. This man killed 1,000. 1, 2, 300, 150, 200, 300. You can see how long it even is before I can even count it. He killed 1,000. And the Bible says, Kai, God said, he appeared immediately. God appeared immediately. He said, oh boy, tell me what you want. What exactly is your desire? What exactly do you want? Somebody is here this morning. The exact thing that you desire, God is going to give to you. I said the exact thing that you desire, God is going to give to you. Now look at that. The Bible says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what? Blank check. Tell me what you want. This thing you have done is too much. If you are here this morning, in a year, in 6 months, in 3 months, God cannot mention 1, 2, 3 things you have done that is sacrificial. That is why things are not turning around. Turn around is an effect, is as a result of you provoke your turn. Things don't want to change. Do you know that if you leave a car in a particular place, it can be there for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You go and check the car your grandfather left in the village that your father doesn't want, that he left there. It is still there now. Dilapidated, shattered, all the tires are gone. It is still there. Nothing moves until somebody moves it. Don't move. Testimonies and breakthroughs don't just happen. They are direct result of man's involvement. Somebody is here this morning. God is going to hear your prayers. So number one thing that provokes spiritual turnaround is called givings or liberality. Number two is called pledges and vows. In Psalm 116 verse 14, the Bible says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. You see, you must know how to get God's attention. Many Christians are not wise. They don't know how to get God's attention. Say, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now, in the presence of all his people, I have vowed unto the Lord. That was what Anna used to make a turnaround. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, from verse 1, the Bible says there was a man called Elkanah who had two wives, Anna and Penina. Penina had children. Anna had no children. And the Bible says that they always go to Shiloh to sacrifice. And Penina, in 1 Samuel 1 verse 6, Penina will frustrate Anna. So say, you don't have any children. All these things our husband has, I'm the one that will inherit it. And her adversary, that's Penina now. And her adversary also provoked her to make her fret because the Lord has shut up her womb. The other lady will provoke. Now the lady now said, okay, you are provoking me. I want to provoke God. You are provoking me. I will provoke God. And the Bible says in verse 10, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says there that, and she was in bitterness of her soul and prayed before God. As a result of this, her soul was very bitter. And then she went before God and prayed before God. Let's go to the next verse now. And then this is where her solution came from. And she vowed a vow. Someone say, vowed a vow. Vowed a vow. God is God. God has no need. I say, you are the one that knows what you need. So you are provoking him. That's it. And she vowed a vow and said, oh Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction. Can you see a child talking to the father? Oh Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall none razor come upon his head. God said, bam, he put stamp straight. If you are indeed a wise Christian, you won't stay long in problem. You won't stay long. It is people's unwillingness to learn. This is a secret. A woman was barren, and then she pressed button. You are provoking me. I provoke God. God, this child, if you give me this child, you can't be sure this child is coming back to you. She had other children after that, both boys and girls. But that first one, she sacrificed, you know, firstborn children. Parents, normally, in the month of February, I'll be praying specifically in that month, from next week's Sunday, specifically for firstborn and sons. I'll talk about that more during the course of the announcement. Because firstborns are normally targets of the devil. We'll talk more about that later. So what are we saying this morning? Vow, making a vow to God. God, if you can do this for me, this is what I will do. Not God, if you can do this, if you can bless me with this, I'll buy you a sachet of biscuit. That's not how to vow. A vow is something that costs you something. And once there is a vow, God must move. There's a woman in our church here. She had a challenge with delivery. And then when we got there, we prayed and prayed. Nothing was happening. All of a sudden, something just prompted me. I just went to the car. I picked my anointing oil and I prayed into it. And I said, God, as I send this anointing oil, I make a vow that if instantly this woman gives birth, this is what I will give. I'm not talking of something, 10,000, 20,000, small. Something just provoking me. Till date, even my wife doesn't know. But until you make a vow, some things might not move. Until you are provoked, you're holding on to all these things. You're continuous holding on to it is what is not making things to turn. But I say to somebody here this morning, things must turn in your favor. I say something must turn in your favor. This woman has story changed. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 1, she had delivered already. You know, and all that. And you see that her story had changed. She was already singing a new song. 1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 1. You will see that she was already. The Bible says, and Anna prayed and said, my heart rejoices. Your heart will rejoice. I can't hear your amen. I can't hear your amen. And Anna prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted. Your horn shall be exalted. My mouth is enlarged. Your mouth shall be enlarged. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Oh, friend, it is your story we'll be sharing very soon. It is your story that we'll be sharing very soon. The story of your greatness shall emerge this month. Let me hear your loudest amen. Number 3, how to provoke supernatural turnaround. It's called faith. Somebody say faith. We'll talk more about this also in the course of next month's teachings. But let me just say one or two things about this now. Now, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that the just shall live by his faith. Faith is a must for a Christian that will survive. If it is not faith, it is fake. Once your life is not faith-filled, it's empty. The just shall live by his faith. In John chapter 9 from verse 1 to all through to 7, there's a story of a man there who was a blind man. And the Bible says that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Yes, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for night coming when no man can walk. Go on now. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Go on now. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay. Can you? I mean, this is faith. You went to somebody that, please, my eye, they pain me. I know pain you. I say, I know pain you. I say, I know go pain you. Let me hear your loudest amen. Your eye is one of your greatest assets. We'll preach about that another day. And then the man said, okay, I will help you. He went outside. It just rained. He packed the worst of the mud. The worst of the mud there. And began to decorate your beautiful face with mud. And he didn't say, stop it, please. What do you mean? I expected you to just blow air into the eyes, or you give me a drug, or you use water to wash it, or you use an antioch to touch it. What is this one on mud? This one is different. Praise the Lord. And when he has spoken his part on the ground and made clear of the spirit, you know, the Bible is very specific. And he anointed the eye of the blind man with the clay. Someone say faith. And said unto him, go. In fact, even the eye did not open instantly. The eye did not open instantly. He said, I have decorated you with mud. Stand up. You are my new man for illustration now. He decorated his handsome face with mud. He now said, go. Go and wash. He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way thereof and washed. Somebody said, go. I want to perceive that maybe that pool was in a place like Mina, or in a place maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours far away. And then he traveled again with mud eye to go and walk over what? And the Bible says he came seeing. It doesn't matter your problem that you have come with this morning. I see you enjoying the best of God in the name of Jesus. I see you enjoying the best of God in the name of Jesus. In Mark 11 verse 23 to 24, Mark 11 23 to 24, he said, if thou will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and thou cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, then you shall have whatsoever he saith. If you can believe it, you can become it. If you can believe that God can do it, he can do it. If you can believe that this year, between now and middle of this year, things have totally turned around, it will happen. And I believe there are such people here with that level of faith to believe. And I say this morning, I join my faith with your own faith. And I decree this morning that your expectation shall not be cut off. Amen. I say your expectation shall not be cut off. Amen. Your expectation shall not be cut off. Amen. Your expectation shall not be cut off. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2 from verse 1 to 10. John chapter 2 verse 1 to 10. The Bible says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to him, whatsoever he telleth you to do, please do. Anything Jesus tells you to do, do anything he tells you. That is the secret of turnaround. Any of his commandments, any of his dictates, any of God's instruction. I don't have any problem listening to God's instruction and obeying it. That's why God doesn't have a problem in pushing his blessings to me. Once you get to the level whereby your heart is, you believe God has the best for you. That was the level Abraham was operating in. Abraham was operating in that level whereby God will say, go and kill your only son that you have and he will obey. That's faith. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1 also explains to us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders, they obtained a good report. You will obtain a good report today. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. You will obtain a good report today. The Bible says that Jesus instructed them in that John chapter 2 verse 1 to 10. He said, oh yeah, this wine has finished. Pour water into that pot. And they obeyed. They should have said, what are you talking about, sir? We are asking for wine. You are talking of water in a pot. If it's water that we want, we can get it. This is a wedding, sir. But they obeyed in faith. And the Bible says, he told them, draw out the wine. And they took it to the chairman of the ceremony, the chairman of the wedding. And the man said, what's going on here? How did you guys serve wine that is substandard after you serve the one that is more standard? Less standard. You should serve the one that is standard first. People will enjoy it. Then later you serve wine that is not okay. It means Jesus' production is better than anyone's kind of production. Jesus, say friends, God has not finished with you. I say God has not finished with you. That's why you should not be sad. Don't allow the economy to make your soul to be sad. God has not, you are still a work in progress. Someone say work in progress. That's why every day of your life when you get up, you walk tall. You walk boldly. You speak boldly. Somebody has gone ahead of you. Say, no problem. No problem. No hard feelings. But I will get there and exceed it. Is that a sin? Somebody has done something now. I thank God for him. But my own, when it comes, it shall be better. Is there somebody with me this morning? If you believe that this morning, shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Number four. Thing that provokes supernatural turnaround is called love for God. Love for God. In the Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. Love him. This provokes God's attention. In the book of John chapter 11 verse 1 to 44, there's a story there of a man called Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. I don't have time to read it right now, but when you get home, you can read it. These two sisters loved Jesus so much. One of them was one that poured oil on the leg of Jesus and used her head to wash it, to clean the leg of. I mean, look at that height of love and submission. If it was these days, they would say she's trying to lure him to bed. She loved and appreciated. She poured oil on his feet and used her hair to clean the leg. And when she was doing it, Jesus said, no, don't do it. The family loved Jesus. And the Bible says that Lazarus loved Jesus and Jesus loved Lazarus. That's what the Bible says. So Lazarus was a God lover to the extent that in John 11 verse 35, Bible says that when Jesus saw Lazarus dead after 4 days, he wept. Jesus was like, Lazarus. Jesus, our own Jesus, he wept. Somebody say love. No, when you love, that's why love is a very deep thing. Is a very, very deep thing. When a husband or a wife or people who are in relationship preparing to marry and all those kind of intimate relationships, when there's a distance, sometimes you can cry. You can cry, you just be weeping. Say, if only my love was here. If only my darling sweet potato was here. Oh, and then you begin to cry. Jesus loved this guy so much. Jesus wept. And the Bible says Jesus went to his tomb. Roll away the stone. And he said, Father, I thank you because every time I call upon you, you answer me. You are still in verse 5. I don't move. Tay. Verse 5, okay. The story is almost finishing, sir. The story is still verse 44, and I moved very fast. So move with me. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus said, oh boy, Lazarus, come out. Now he that was dead came forth bound. Go to verse 43 first. Thank you, Jesus. 43 first. Studio. 43. Thank you, Jesus. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! That's how I'm going to cry this morning after we pray. For your destiny to come out of the grave. He cried! What are you doing in the grave? 4 days, for what? You saw me crying just now. You are in the grave. Your destiny is in the grave. You are still pursuing admission till now. You are still searching for husband till now. You are still paying rent till now. Enough is enough. Destiny. Come on. Searching for baby till now. For what reason? Friends, Jesus called this guy out after 4 days. 4 good days of being dead. If a man is dead, 4 or 5 hours, he's already stiff. 24 hours, he's already stinking. He's decaying inside already. 4 days. I speak to somebody here this morning. Your destiny must come out of the grave this morning. Your destiny must come out of the grave this morning. Your destiny must come out of the grave this morning. Your family must come out of the grave this morning. Your resolve must come out of the grave this morning. Your family must come out of the grave this morning. Your health must come out of the grave this morning. Your destiny must come out of the grave this morning. Your business must come out of the grave this morning. If you believe that, say, I believe it. Take your seat in God's presence. So what are we saying here this morning? You can provoke turnaround as a direct result of your affection for God. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man what God has in store for them that love him. So you can't imagine what I'll do for you when you love me. Nobody can imagine what I will change your life into. All I'm asking for is your love. Just love me. And I've discovered, loving God is like being in a relationship in real life. Care, attention, honor, communication. In the course of the week, I think, is it this week or last week, my wife, when we got to prayer banquet in the evening, I said, since morning, you don't even ask after me. You don't even call me. I said, I've been very busy. Since morning. That's what happens. That's what God is saying to many of us here. He said, you don't stay where you don't talk to me intimately. He said, it's a long time. It's only in church. When did you come close to me? When last did you have time with me? When last did you speak to me and ask after and communicate with me? It's a new day for somebody here today. Brand new love for God comes for somebody here this morning in the name of Jesus. I say it comes for somebody here this morning in the name of Jesus. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you. You alone are my heart desire and I to worship you. You alone.
You are Lord, are my strength and my shield.
To you alone may my spirit sing.
Oh, you
alone are my desire.
I love you, Lord.
presence of God here right now. Just tell him how much you love him. Just speak to him anyhow. Everybody. Speak to him. Speak to him. Speak to him right now. There's an awesome presence here now. Now. There's an awesome presence of God here. Just speak to him. Tell him how much you love him. Oh, Shabadabadabadabadabada. Je bladosh, bladosh, saprada kadabayadadash. La je kerideosh. Le jato zaprida kadabash, inglados. Likataya pakagazayayash. Apatayayayash. Likoso bradikaliabara. La kwa le gladashi kadialo shakadaya. Iaparaka fiala kakoza ziakrados kiriando. Tell God you love him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him that you appreciate him so much. Tell him, I appreciate you so much, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we have worship. Take your seat. I'll take two more points quickly, then we go to pray. Number six, way to provoke God's presence. Number five, beg your pardon. Number five, way to provoke the supernatural turnaround is called praises. And that's what we just did now. Psalms 22 verse 3. Psalms chapter 22 verse 3 explains to us that but thou art holy, O God, that inhabitest the praise of his people. Things turn around cheaply for those who can praise God. Things are so easy for the praiseful. Things are so difficult for those who do not want to praise God. It's important for you to realize, my brothers and my sisters here this morning, that we were created to praise God. I think that should be in Isaiah 43 verse 21. The reason why God created you is to praise him. These people have I formed for myself, that they might what? Eh? I can't hear you. Loudly. He's on the screen now. Loudly, please. That is the reason why God created you. All other things come after. I created these people for them to praise me. Friends, I am always grieved when you don't praise God. As a privileged servant of God, and privileged to be in the forefront here, I hear God and I know God's mind. You can't come to church and then you are walking as if you are the one we came to praise. It's barbaric. We can't be praising God and you are looking like this with your two hands in your pocket. It's useless. It's a useless existence. It's a useless, it's lack of mentality. It doesn't show that you know what you are doing in God's house. Or you are pressing phone. You are doing WhatsApp while others are lifting their hands up to God. It does not make sense. You quickly take picture in church now for Facebook. Why is happening between 9 and 9:20 when they are worshiping God? Please, if you are doing that, stop it. I've been privileged in my short life to have gone to see some people in high places, including governors and the current Senate president. You can't enter their offices with a phone. You can't. Right from down here, right from the reception, they collect your phone, they put it inside the place, they lock it there. You pass through a machine here. If anything like metal or phone down, they send you back. They send you back. They search you. So if you have been going there often for one thing or the other, you will not need to. You will not even take it because you know that you cannot pass through. In God's presence, just do as if. For what reason? Please stop it. Stop it! Stop it! You say I don't know what's wrong with me. Something is wrong with you. What's wrong with you? The devil want to finish you.
Because you should be able to think, why will you be in God's house and you can't praise? In God's house, what? I don't know what's wrong with I am door. Door for what? What? You are door. Your lipstick is on. Your fine hair is there. You can carry your hand. Your Bible says, Ogbowo Osegbe, Ogbete Osegbe. Can't you understand what I'm saying? Can't you understand what I'm saying? You carry your hand, you can carry it. You carry your leg. You do your eye like this. Hello, I'm shaking. And the thing is working. You know some people, they are doing their eye like this, and the thing is not working. And you do like this. Person doesn't understand what you're saying. What do you mean? What do you mean? If indeed you want a turnaround, let your praise life be active. In Acts 16 verse 24, there's a story of Paul and Silas there. They were in the prison house. They locked them up in the jail. Acts 16:24. They locked them up in the prison house. And the Bible says they prayed. All of a sudden they switched to praise. Say, we don't pray. Now it's time for us to praise. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. They had been praying. Prayer is good. But you must know there's a time, sir, to change the tune. Change it to praise. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Oh my God. Suddenly this morning, somebody's life will turn around for the better. Suddenly, there was a shaking. Likatozia Reato Baranoa Blakasha Lezatoa Beratia Lagada. Suddenly everything began to shake. And suddenly there was a great shaking, so that the foundation of the prison were shaking. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's band was loose. Today, as my God liveth, your band shall be loose. I say your band shall be loose. If your desire is a change of story, change your level of praise. You say, I don't know how to dance. That's the best. You know, when people don't know how to dance, when they begin to dance, it's even a wonder. You know, this person doesn't know how to dance, but they will just be doing their legs somehow, doing their hands somehow, doing just funny way. It looks funny. That is the same way that God will change their story. How can somebody be in the prison and be praising God to the extent that everybody can hear him? Prison. You will not be a candidate. If you like, say amen. If you like, don't say amen. I say you will not be a candidate. You will not be a candidate. One of my daughters is here. She told us, she gave us a testimony of her brother whose friend went to do something wrong. And they said, do you have a Baba Saleh? Do you have anybody that is? And they mentioned his name, and he's not involved. And they took him to the prison. They arrested him. I don't know. I can't remember how she said they brought him out mysteriously. Friends, you will not be a candidate of prison. No. You will not do what will take you there. And they will not mistakenly pick you for a wrong thing. Say a big amen. Say a big amen. You and I, that is not our place. Palace is our place. And we are going to get there.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.